إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to share with you some thoughts as a reminder about the most critical and central concept in Islam of what is called Haya. Now, generally speaking, when we say Haya, we seem to restrict the conversation to the dress code, and that also only the dress code of the women, that they must wear hijab and that they must be appropriately dressed in clothes which are not revealing. This is definitely one of the aspects of haya. There is absolutely no doubt about that, and therefore what I am about to say does not contravene the issue of dress code. The hijab of the woman is a direct hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the woman who chooses to ignore it, the woman who chooses to go against it, is choosing to go against the direct hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't need to go into the severity of that contravention. I do not need to go into what kind of stance such a woman is taking. I am sure we are all intelligent enough to understand that without any unnecessary explanations. So the dress code of the Muslim and the Muslimah is very much a part of haya. It is the outward visible manifestation of haya. But what is haya itself? Haya to me is the concept of integrity. It is the concept of complete and total truthfulness, both internal and external. Haya is complete and total truthfulness in how we think, in what we believe, and the congruence of what we believe with what we speak and how we act. So it is the congruence of four things: what we believe, what we think, what we speak, and how we act. All of these four things together constitute the concept of haya. I remind myself and you about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with regard to Islam, which is the most beautiful ayah of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in his usual way, succinctly, with the minimum use of words, the whole concept of integrity, of complete integrity of thought, speech, and action. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udkhulu fis silmi kaffatan, wa la tattabiu khutuwati shaitan, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and fully, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily, he is to you an open enemy. Now, if you look at this ayah, as I have mentioned this ayah in different contexts before, it's an ayah which relates to the understanding of Islam itself. It's an ayah, first of all, which one can say that it's strangely addresses the believers. And I say strangely because the ayah says, O you who believe, enter into Islam fully. And I'm saying that on the face of it, this seems strange. Because if a person is already a believer, then the person is already in Islam. So where is the question of saying enter into Islam fully? How is he a believer if he hasn't entered into Islam? Which shows us that there is a difference between entering into Islam and entering into Islam fully. And that is the whole issue of the concept of integrity, the concept of haya. If you take how does a person enter into Islam, if you look at how a person enters into Islam, a person enters into Islam by believing La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, by saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and by acting on this kalima. So it is Iman bil qalb, wa tasdiqul bil lisan, wa amal bil arkan. So it is tasdiq bil qalb, wa tasdiq bil lisan, wa iqrar bil lisan, and wa amal bil arkan. He believes in his heart, he speaks with his tongue, and he acts according to what he has spoken and what he believes in. That is the whole concept of integrity. And that is what I am calling haya. And this ayah of the Quran illustrates this very beautifully, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O you who believe, meaning those of you who have entered Islam, meaning that you have recited the kalima, now do the rest. Enter into Islam fully, meaning now do the rest of it. Now walk and act and talk like a Muslim in every aspect of your life. How you, what you believe in is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. You believe in the oneness and the monotheism of Islam. You believe in the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and final messenger of Muhammad, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after whom there are no messengers and no anbiya and no rusul. And that is the belief. Then comes the action on this belief. And what is the action on this belief? The first and foremost action on this belief is the salah. When I said there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and then the time for worship comes and I do not worship Allah, then I have denied my own statement. My action has denied my belief. And that is why the salah is the, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called it the line, the dividing line between Islam and Kufr. And he said, وَمَنْ أَرَادَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. He said, this is the أَحَدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, the أَحَد, the dividing line, the covenant between, which separates us from the people who do not believe, is the salah. And the one who leaves it has left Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this. So the action demonstrates the belief. If the action is not there, then the belief cannot be claimed. You may have it. I'm not saying that we go around pronouncing kufr on anybody. But at the same time, the person, individual, the whole point of these fajr reminders is for us to reflect for ourselves, not for us to talk about others. So we are saying here that let us reflect on ourselves and say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, how much have I entered into Islam? And that is the reason I began by saying that as far as hijab is concerned, this is a very clear indication that there is a major dissonance, there is a major fracture between what you say and what you and how you act, because you are saying you are Muslim, but you don't follow the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to your dress. So that's a very basic thing. So if the basic itself is not right, then what's the point of going any further? But since, inshallah, we are talking about correcting ourselves, so therefore we do go further. And we say that let us look at our entire lives. Now, this issue of udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan and wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan, if you look at the issue of following the footsteps, it means that at the end of the day, the person who chooses to follow the footsteps is taking responsibility for that action for himself. He is not being compelled, he is not being dragged by the scruff of his neck, his hand is not being held, and he is not being taken unwillingly down that path. There are just footsteps, and he chooses to walk on those footsteps. And he also knows whose footsteps those are. He is not doing that without knowledge, because Allah has told him very clearly. He said, this is the footsteps of shaitan. Khutwati shaitan. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. So these are the footsteps of shaitan. And if we knowingly follow those footsteps, then where is it going to lead us? It will lead us to where shaitan is. So the point is that the issue of haya is to be in a state of complete integrity with respect to Islam. Now, haya is also seen as being ashamed of or a sense of shame. Now, this sense of shame with respect to haya is whenever we break that covenant, no matter how small, whenever we go against the integrity, then a person with haya is somebody who immediately feels ashamed who immediately feels a sense of, oh my God, what have I done? Why did I do that? No matter how small it is, there's no question of small and big with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the disobedience is of Allah and Allahu Akbar. So therefore, there's no question of some disobedience being small and some big. We are not going into the issues of the fiqhi position of the kabair and sagair. We are saying that any disobedience of Allah, if it is done deliberately, then it amounts to a big disobedience, because we are choosing consciously to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and that is not something that should be taken lightly at all. So therefore, a person haya therefore is that feeling of shame, that feeling of regret, that feeling of nadamat, that feeling of being ashamed of having disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that feeling disappears from your heart, then you have no haya. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you have no ghira, and ghira is also a derivative of this haya. He said, if you have no ghira, if you have no haya, then do whatever you want. Because then you are, you know, you are outside this thing. I mean, Allah knows best what you are, because you have no shame. So haya is that sense of shame. So when, for example, if a woman is walking around without a hijab and she knows that she knows that this is hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she is walking around without a hijab and she has no sense of shame about it, then she must seriously ask herself, what is the level of my iman? Because how is it that I have no haya? How is it that I do not feel shame when I am going, when I am breaking the integrity of my religion, when I am going against what my religion has told me, what my Rabb has told me, and this is the Rabb on whom I depend for every single breath that I take. This is the Rabb whose help I need in every single action that I do. This is the Rabb who I want to accept my dua when I ask him. This is the Rabb whose protection I need at every single instance in my life. And most of all, I need the protection and help of this Rabb when I am dying, and then when I go and stand before him, and I feel no sense of shame, no sense of haya in directly disobeying a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which says to cover your hair, which says to wear the hijab. I mean, what kind of sense is that? I mean, you know, I don't think any intelligent woman needs anyone to convince her about this. I think we don't think about these things. So therefore, I strongly encourage you, do think about that. The same thing applies to the men, where we are saying that haya is that sense of shame that must come any time that you break any of the infractions, any of the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Now, of course, for the men also, their dress is very much part of the code, which is that men must also dress in a way which is where their bodies are not revealed. So very clearly, the issue refers to how we dress. So we must feel that. And secondly, the thing then refers to everything else, which is any time you miss salah is an issue of haya. I must feel greatly ashamed and say, subhanAllah, the one thing which is my resource, the one thing which gives me this closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where I connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the thing I choose to miss. I mean, what sense does it make? What sense, absolute sense, does that make that you miss salah? I mean, why would you want to miss salah? Why would you not want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why would you not want to talk to Allah? Why would you not want to come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reiterate your submission to him and your connection with him? Why would you not want to do that? Why would you want, or why would you need encouragement to do that? I mean, seriously think about this. So this is an issue of haya, that we leave salah and we feel no sense of shame. It's a sense of haya that we do ghibat, we talk about others, we slander people, we bad talk people. Somebody disagrees with us, this is a cardinal sin with us. No one is permitted to have an opinion other than my opinion. I mean, I tell you, the Muslims today are in such a state of arrogance, it is absolutely shameful. It is a sense of, there's no sense of haya. If somebody disagrees with you, then this person is an evil person. Why? Because he has a different opinion. I mean, what sense, what kind of sense does that make? Tell me. I mean, really, seriously, we have to think about this and say that these are all issues of haya. And because that's when the ghibah starts. Because you don't like the person's opinion, therefore now you start bad-talking that person. You start slandering that person. You start casting all kinds of aspirations on that person. And Rasulullah said, the one who does that, The one who dishonors his brother in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dishonor him on the day of judgment. So I seriously advise those who go around talking and writing and bad-talking people, seriously ask yourself, go make tawbah and go and apologize to those people before you die and before they die, because otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace you on the day of judgment. And this is not my fatwa, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that if your talk, whatever it is, if it dishonors, if it harms another brother, if your talk, whatever it is, whatever your justification, whatever you think that you are doing such a great thing, if that dishonors, if that harms, if that hurts another brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dishonor you on the day of judgment. So watch out for that. So this is an issue of haya, of having no haya in doing these things. Now, I don't want to, I have already, this further reminder has already become quite long, so I don't want to go any further. But the point is that do think and keep this in mind, that haya is not just restricted to dress alone. It is restricted to every single thing. It's restricted to all our actions. It's restricted, it includes all our actions. It includes all that we speak and do. It includes all our mu'amilat, how we deal with people. It is how we treat others. It is everything. It's how we treat the environment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this environment, this whole world, as a matter of trust. And He put us as trustees for this. He put us so that we look after it, so that we nurture it, so that we protect it, and we hand it over to the next generation in a better condition than what it was when we found it. But we are doing the opposite. We are destroying the environment. We are destroying nature. We are destroying plants and animals. On what basis? And these are issues of haya. A Muslim cannot do that. If it happens by the hand of a Muslim, then the Muslim must feel regret, must feel a sense of shame, that how is it that I allowed this to happen? So very, very important. The issue of haya extends to every aspect of our lives. It's not only restricted to dress. Dress is very much part of it, but it extends to all and every aspect of our thinking, feeling, and of every aspect of our actions. All of these are issues of haya, and therefore we need to reflect on it and say, how much of haya do I really have? And am I fulfilling that? Am I fulfilling the integrity that Islam demands? When Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and fully, not partially, because partial entry does not constitute entry. Selective obedience is disobedience. When we select to obey one order, then it means that we are selecting to disobey another order. This is not Islam, my brothers and sisters. Islam is complete and total submission. It is that state of haya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who have haya, and not to make us behaya, which is, in Urdu, it means a shameless person. A person who has no izzah, a person who has no ghira. And the ghira again comes from this. It's that sense of haya with respect to others. It's a sense of haya with respect to ourselves. So really, seriously, let us ask ourselves, what are we doing with our lives, and ensure that we bring our lives back on track. Because one day we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be questioned about this integrity in our religion. We will be questioned about haya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those for whom this questioning will not be done, for whom the questioning, if it is done, will be very easy, for whom when this questioning happens, if it happens, then we will have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Let us make tawbah. Let us go and apologize to whoever we have hurt and harmed. Let us ensure that we change our lives before it is too late. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ